The snows have come early to the peaceful coastal town you've been resting in. In your room on the top floor of the bed and breakfast, there's a balcony that faces out over the town. You hear the gentle rap on the glass and turn to see, standing in the light of a full moon, a woman in a leather jacket, the long blue dress underneath. Her hair's pulled back and up. She's wearing silver earrings, and she has fangs. Behind red, red lips, her skin pale. She's kicking the snow aside with huge, heavy boots, and gently tugging at the door. You realize you'd locked it the night before, unthinkingly. She realizes this and sighs, but you rush to open it. And as always, she's wearing dark, dark glasses, far larger than her eyes. Though you've only seen her eyes briefly before that you can remember with any clarity. She pushes open and steps inside. She's a little bit shorter than you, when she's not levitating, but she is presently. Just a few inches off the ground. She seems to do it without thinking. Hey. Here's a little place up the coast. Do you want to meet me there? She asks it, matter-of-factly, but then adds, it's just past my new place, so, you know, you could stop over, have a cup afterward. You nod, affirming that, of course, you'd like to go out with her. Previously, she'd been a little reticent when you'd asked, so it's a nice change of pace. Then we've got to get moving, she says, and takes a few steps backward. Sitting on the edge of the rail, and then tumbling off. You hear the whoosh of air, the flap of wings, the pretty girl gone once more. And very shortly afterward, a ping on your phone. Share my location, telling you just where to go. It has a search engine entry showing it's a tourist spot. Probably empty this time of night, though. A set of caves on the nearby cliffs. There's a well-trod road up that way, so it isn't a problem that a very light snow is blanketing the place, but you'll have to bundle up against the cold. You get a hat and scarf, a jacket, slide them on, and head out quick. She won't wait forever, so you know you should get moving. But you comfort yourself that, since she invited you, she'd probably wait for quite a while. Not that you intend to keep her there. Down the stairs and out the door, no one bothers or stops you. Despite the tensions between May's parents, the people who own the place, and the vampire girl herself, they haven't been getting quite as up in arms about their undead daughter refusing to leave the nest, because she hasn't been stopping by much. You did hear a tearful reunion one night, but didn't go down. Maybe her mom really appreciated that May found a place elsewhere. As this has reduced friction between you and the innkeeper, that's a nice side effect. It isn't far, all things considered. The snow touches your skin, lightly. The wind blows past. Silvery moon shines down on everything. You remember she's particularly potent around the full moon, in terms of certain abilities, the source of the vampire's magic. And no doubt that's the reason she was so bold and assertive. The moon paints everything. You hold out your arm and look at the silver reflected on your skin. The whole world is in monochrome. You follow a path which winds off the main drag and out toward a nearby park. It's well paved, and it's even been cleared earlier this evening. Past the park are cliffs, and there's a broad, firm road with rails on the pedestrian paths and stairs here and there. The icy wind does bite this close to the ocean, but the promise of the vampire's embrace, or maybe just some good company and a cup of tea later. In any case, you're looking forward to it, and it's more than enough to bolster you on. It does narrow a little more, that track, as you go toward the caves themselves. You vault small gaps, push rocks aside, because you realize the point she tapped is actually a little bit further along than the tourist entrance to the caves. She flew here, and no doubt that has colored her time estimate. You know you can look forward to an earful when you arrive. Moving brush out of the way, poking your way along the trail. All it does is fuel your anticipation. You would have rathered she pick a movie theater or a little restaurant to invite you out to, however. The trail terminates after some time in a set of stone steps rather more well maintained than the road up to here. You see telltale signs that someone has dusted and cleared them off. Doubtless she sits on those steps and stares out to the ocean beyond after flying here. Little piles of flat stones, cairns, dot the cliff in strange and hard-to-reach places. Maybe she's part of why these cliffside caves are a tourist location. And down at the bottom of the steps, leaning beneath a no-smoking sign nailed into the bare rock. And yes, she's holding a lit cigarette between her thumb and forefinger. There's May. You have a hunch, so you ask. You ask if she brought that no-smoking sign out here. Yeah, I got it in one. She stomps out the cigarette. I like to make the place my own a little bit. She points, and you see that just inside the cave entrance, there is a couch. The kind of couch you'd see out front of someone's house, free for the taking. Old and squashy, like a dorm room one. Must be comfortable. Glad you could make it, she says, as if she was going to come out here regardless. Which you guess, based on the little homey signs and her apparent relaxation, she must do. It's completely black inside. So here, hold on to my sleeve. She takes her cell phone out anyway and turns on the flashlight function, illuminating the cave mouth. It had to be tonight. I was of two minds on whether to show you it, right up until the end. But I think you'll have some fun. And I could use a let off some steam. So could you, by the looks of it, darling. She wraps an arm around your shoulder, ostensibly to guide you. She is moving slightly ahead of you, but you keep up. There's more than enough room for the two of you to walk abreast, but you wrap an arm around her lower back, sliding it in front of her leather jacket. She's cool to the touch. As you proceed, you realize there are little holes in the roof, and that the full moon is beating down through them periodically. She probably didn't need to bother with the light. The silvery moon illuminates patches on the walls of slickness, and the air is steam. Heavy, warm, strange, especially given conditions outside. But then, the pathway widens into a huge cavern, which is every bit as warm as your room at the inn. And at the far side, an especially large portal in the ceiling shows the moon shining silvery on a bubbling and steaming pool, a hot spring. But no, you look closer, and the etched stone, the edges of it, the way it sits right in the corner. You even see a carved towel rack on the wall. This isn't a hot spring. This is a hot tub. The cavern is warm. That skylight above the tub. There are even more homey touches in here. There's a bookshelf tucked away to one side. This place isn't completely in the town. There's a lot of spots like this all over, actually. This is called a moon pool. That hole in the roof isn't always there. If you're any good at spatial processing, you've realized the bluff, the cliff, trees should all be in the way. But tonight, and just tonight, the roof is open in places. So you're never more than about 20 feet from moonlight, which makes it the perfect place for me to recharge. Actually, not just the moon, that helps, but the tub. She begins walking toward it, releasing you, stripping off her clothing. She throws her leather jacket onto a hook. It lands perfectly, but it flutters a little, suggesting it might have had some help from whatever her abilities are. Recharge. She's referring to those silvery blue tats which go from the back of her neck, down her arms, to her feet. You'd seen that much, but never before looked closely as you do when she kicks off her huge boots, tugs off comfortable wool socks, revealing dainty feet hovering off the ground. You see the tattoos curve on top of her feet as well, ending in little spirals and circles of blue-silver ink. It only exists here, at this time of night. And only if someone not quite human is present. Nothing against you. I mean, I was human too, but the people who made these were afraid of us. No one will stumble on us. Anyway, I thought you looked tense, and I know I am. So I brought you for my monthly bathing. She's stripping off her clothes, a far sight from the woman who once wore a bathing suit into the shower with you. Her leather jacket's the only thing that she hung up neatly. Even the dark blue dress is tossed on the ground, leaving a pile of her clothing there, her underthings as well. She's pretty average underneath it all. There's a bit of wholesome, unabashed countryside girl about her, in spite of the pointed and incredibly shiny fangs, or the sunglasses, which she's kept on even in here. Her tattoos shine silver blue. They do curl down over her breasts, her stomach. You know, different amounts of them are illuminated based on how charged she is, but tonight they're out in her full glory. Curves, spirals. There are a few patterns, too. There's a tree here, a sunburst there. You watch, and she clears her throat, pointing to you. Ah, you guess you should strip down. She has a satchel tucked away in the corner, and she opens it, taking out two huge fluffy white towels and a large 2-liter bottle of water and two little plastic cups. She rests these on the, it's still a little hard to look at it, on the edge of the hot tub where there's actually a place to put refreshments. There are cup holders hollowed into the outside. The whole thing is just bizarre to look at, but very appealing. The sight of hot water bubbling and steam rising. In fact, she doesn't wait for you to strip before levitating up in the air, running her hands up her wide-set hips, up past her breasts, teasing out her hair. You notice the two little red marks in her neck as she hovers toward the tub, the original bite. She never does quite touch the ground, but now she's really rising up. Her toenails are painted, you notice, though her fingernails aren't. Her fingernails are cut short, her hands are calloused. She does work, you know that, manual labor. But holding on to that kind of thought is difficult when you see her hover to the far side of the tub, set herself down there, and begin dangling her feet in the water, kicking happily in the heat. Ah-ha. She beckons you over, and you begin to strip, placing your clothing next to hers, not quite as untidily. There is a little bench over there, so you rest it on it, and express your surprise and incredulity at the place. Yeah, it keeps everyone away, she explains. So, while we're in here, unless, I guess, another person like me happens along, you won't have anyone interrupting you. And there's no one like me on the coast. Come on, get in. She doesn't allow you to delay any longer. And as you're stripped bare, you walk to the tub, up the stairs at the edge of it, and down the other side slow, one foot and then the other in the hot, all-encompassing water, deeper, more relaxed with every step. It's over 6 feet deep at the deepest point and graded toward the center. The stone is incredibly smoothed. You have no idea where the water comes in from or goes out to, but it's hardly the most surprising thing here. You get a really good look at May sitting on the edge of the tub because you're down below, floating. She makes no particular attempt to conceal her body, her hands flat to the left and right of her, her feet still kicking in the water. And then once you're settled in, she actually just spreads her legs and beckons you to the edge, leaning back a little bit. You don't need telling twice. You slide over there. She slips off the edge and hangs with just her shoulders and upper body on the rim of the tub, the rest of her down in, floating at the top level. You reach underneath to grab her ass from beneath the hot, now spreading, relaxing water. It feels restorative, every inch of you letting go of its tension. And naturally, calmly, without saying much at all, you lean in, slide your tongue against her wet sex, begin running it up and down, licking at her. The silver light from above paints you both, that same monochrome effect from before. As you memorize the taste of her fold, she moans, openly, unrestrained, panting on the edge. Her legs and feet are dangling over your shoulders and into the water, bringing her pussy directly into contact with your mouth. You lick away, and she squeezes her thighs around you, rolling her hips, allowing you to work your tongue over her, and she must have been a little frustrated because she's quite soaked, and it doesn't take much attention at all delivered to her clit. for her to start bucking, squeezing, to fall entirely into the tub and float on the surface with her butt jolting up and down, her pussy pressing against your lips, humping there. You lap up her juices, explicitly to arouse her, and support her under her back by extending your arms forward, helping her to just float in the hot water, coming, thrashing, and splashing on the surface, climaxing and squeezing, her moans filling the echoing cavern. And when she finally, in the last throes of twitching, has concluded a twitching climax, she slides her legs off your shoulder, slips under the water, wraps her arms around you, raises up a little bit, pushes her breasts against your face, leaning down to kiss the top of your head, rake her short fingernails gently down your back. Pretty good, she says, by way of praise, but she's still breathless. At some point before you began to lick, she must have touched one of her tattoos, because the whole time that you've been touching her, it hasn't just been the tub's heat radiating. Her body has begun to flush and return to normal human color. That's why she experienced that complete climax wrapped around you. You were so focused on licking and lapping away that you hadn't noticed that she was able to fully come, hot and heavy, the way she only can when she uses those tattoos to briefly come alive again. And what that means is, she slips off her sunglasses and rests them on the edge of the tub. She's always been peculiarly reticent about her glowing eyes and their power over you, but now, with her returned to human form for a while, the two of you are just there in the tub, wet, hot. Once a human comes in, it doesn't matter, the tub will stay, she explains. So I can turn it all off for a little while. The tats will recharge either way, and I can spend freely. I could stay this way all night, actually, she explains, leaning over, running her hands down your back, pushing her lips against the space behind your ear. Both of you, hot in the water. She's pushing her chest against your face again. She seems to like doing that, or just wants you to suck on her nipples so you take the cue. Licking, kissing across her skin, while every second the two of you are bathed in that hot, all-consuming, steamy place. Two of you together. You kiss across her breasts, reach under, grip her butt, slide a hand between her legs. And unlike her usual bashful presence, she doesn't do anything to dissuade you. Though she does clench her thighs hard when you rub her pussy and touch her clit. Ah, careful, careful, she explains. She's still sensitive. You don't know how much I needed that. We can just swim laps in here for a little bit, actually. I'm not saying you can't do anything later, but I think I need a break, she explains bashfully. Don't worry, you'll get some of your own soon enough. And she floats away from you, kicking to the edge of the tub, although making sure to keep most of her body in sight, and carefully making eye contact, grinning at you. She's not in any way distancing herself. She's literally just making you aware that, since she isn't in a fully human, fully feeling, sensation-filled body quite so often, it's a little much for her to be stimulated so directly and quickly. You offer, a little coyly, to resume licking, teasing between her legs, and there's a look that comes over her face of brief, momentary, gasping desire. But she reasserts herself, like I said, later, okay? She isn't at all bothered that you asked. She knows you were just teasing. But she really looks like maybe she'd pop off and keep coming if you touched her. It's quite cute. You take the hint, slide to the edge of the tub, sit on one of the benches, and let your entire body sit below the bubbling, hot, gently swirling water of the tub. You are safe and comfortable in her presence, and she's gradually recuperating, taking deep breaths, rising out of the water a little bit to sit on the edge. You take in the glorious contours of her body, enjoying the freckles that stand out on her when she uses her abilities to revive herself fully. Enjoying the way she flushes and doesn't seem quite as able to stand the heat. You sit there, relaxing, and then she says something teasing and tempting of her own, pointing out, you know, In this cave, when I take off my glasses, she is of course referring to when she's still in her vampiric form, it clings to every single surface, the water, the walls. It's like you're just inside my eyes. Maybe next time this thing appears, I'll bring you back and I won't change back right away. She purrs out the possibility, the temptation, but she seems a little bit too attached to staying human for the pendency of the evening with you. And so you float and splash, make out gently. And later, you realize that the little house she picked up is just 1 mile down the road into the park. So the two of you do have the ability to dry off, get warm, bundle back up, and hustle quickly across the snowy, silent night back to her place for, at bare minimum, a cup of tea.